Marnie, hold the mic closer to your face.
Hey, everyone.
You up?
Hey, you up? Is that the intro?
Oh, jeez.
Hey, guys, you guys up who are listening to this? I don't know. All right. That's a pretty good intro. Screw it. That's the intro, guys.
Hey, everyone.
G'day.
We've got guests. We've got royalty. Probably the two most common guests this year. You want to introduce yourselves and say a little bit about yourselves?
Admin 3 from North Closer to a Flag. You may have either seen me on the pod or losing my voice in Bay 29.
Mm. Yeah, oh yeah, there's a few kangas been thrown out there.
Oh, jeez, I'm going to need some help. So if anyone comes down, come along, make some noise and give me some strepsils.
Yeah, bring the strepsils. You should get a sponsorship for strepsils.
I really should. We should, like, I'll get North onto it. Maybe like a short sponsor or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah,
you know, not front of shirt.
Front of shirt, actually, yeah. Or maybe a grandstand, like the Strepsil Bay or something
the
like that.
The Strepsil Bay, yeah. They could rename that. Email Marvel.
Absolutely, yeah, 100%, yeah.
All right.
Hi.
Do we introduce you, Marnie?
I'm Marnie.
This is Marnie.
That's all the introduction you need.
You're totally right. All right. Exciting times ahead, guys. We're going to be doing the end of season awards, like an awards show. Way. I was excited.
Sure. Okay. That makes one of us.
They're just here. I'm excited anyway, guys. I'm excited anyway. Basically, things like best players, best moments, all that sort of stuff. But I've got some little news talking points first. We've made a pact all together not to ramble too much.
As long as no one mentions Tristan Cherry, we'll be fine with that.
And as long as we keep Robbie Nahas off, of course, then we're good.
That's totally right. Yeah. No Aiden Core talk either.
Okay, no Aiden Core talk. Geez. That's really testing me. But okay. I'll behave.
We can talk a bit of Kane Turner. Anyway, not now. Okay, a couple of things that happened during the week and I want your reaction to it, even though you already know, but give me your deepest and darkest thoughts. Nick Larkey, All-Australian.
Unbelievable.
We got an All-Australian. Oh, can you believe that?
It's incredible. In that's a season wild. Like what we've had right now.
Shocking.
It's incredible. And 71 goals in the second worst team in the comp is nothing short of amazing. Like,
do we have the least or second least inside 50s in the comp or something? I'm pretty sure it's something like that.
I think so. It's
we're right down the bottom.
We definitely have the worst like entries into the forward 50 and the like surely the lowest percentage of goals scored from time spent inside the forward 50.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't even need to look up the stat to know that we would be the worst.
We watched enough North this year to know that that's true.
100%.
Oh, absolutely. It's good to know though that I think finally the players are starting to click into how to deliver him the ball as well.
About time.
Because I think they were playing so long like as if he was a Drew Petrie taking aerial grabs.
Yeah.
When he's much more refined space and mark in the on the lead kind of forward, he can take a contested mark every now and then. Maybe not as well as Drew Petrie, but yeah, it's good. He's getting the delivery and, of course, he's converting, which is, exactly what we want to see.
Absolutely. And she's rising star.
Rising star and the AFL Players Association best first year player.
He's not the only thing rising when we talk about Harry Sheezel.
Don't threaten me with a good time here.
Save it after dark, hey?
Sorry. We're going to make a Patreon and OnlyFans. I don't know, but the Further North podcast will be on one of them one day.
Oh, absolutely.
Some very exclusive content.
Nah, he's incredible. Like 30 disposals off the halfback.
High efficiency
like
as well.
Per game pretty much is like amazing. Like we'd be losing to Melbourne by the 90 points.
Yeah.
And he's the leading ball getter for us and on the field.
On the ground,
top five.
Yeah.
I think the discussion around him was really frustrating, in particular in the week leading up to the rising star. Obviously, the Mitch Owens brigade was, out in full force. Is that the guy from St Kilda?
There was only ever two options this year.
Yeah.
And one of them was so far ahead of the other, in my opinion. And yes, am I biased? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, look, I do feel for Ashcroft because I think he probably would have won the award had he not been injured. But
I don't think he would have. Oh, okay, that was going to be harsh.
But not by a country mile. He wouldn't have won it. I think he would have been better though. Time.
Like, what do people take into this debate? Because for me, you know, you've got two incredibly talented players, and if Harry Sheezel's on North Melbourne, one of the worst teams in the league, playing off halfback in front of one of the worst defenses ever, with that high disposal rate and that efficiency. Doing that on that team to me is so much more impressive than Ashcroft getting plugged straight into a premiership quality midfield.
Exactly right. Because like when you're playing,
it's not taking away anything from him though.
Oh, 100%.
No, of course.
He's an objectively good player.
Fantastic player.
Ashcroft. But yeah, like you said, he's getting the service. He's getting excellent delivery from one of the best mids in the comp.
Yeah.
Sheezel, and this is the thing I hate. The two things that I find really frustrating is the first rubbish argument, which is how many of his disposals are kick-ins, which is, if you look at
that's
the stats.
That's so stupid.
He's outside. Silly. He's not even in the top.
It doesn't 15. Matter if you kick it. If you still look at the accuracy. Look at the disposal
I've seen
efficiency.
Plenty of North players take the ball from the kick-in and still turn it over. So
James Stevenson taking the kick-ins?
Oh, don't.
David Noble ball?
Don't. That was another. David Noble? We don't want to go there. We're not going there.
That's a name we cannot mention on the podcast.
and then the second one being like, oh, he's only getting a lot of disposals because the midfield's losing. It's like, yeah, well, he's beating out his opponent.
Yeah. This is like the Nick Larkin debate. Someone in the shop today actually was a North fan and he was trying to convince me that Larky's overrated. And I just couldn't believe, one, he was a North fan, genuinely was a North fan. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, the argument opposite Larky is, well, there's no one else up there to kick it to. It's like, the guy cops the three best defenders every single week with the worst disposal inside 50 to him. And he still was able to kick that many goals.
Are you sure you weren't cutting Damien Barrett's hair?
I might have been actually.
I mean, the thing with Larky is that Larky was the most targeted forward for the whole year across the competition at any club. And I do understand there hasn't been a second tall forward that they've kind of worked as a 1-2 punch together. But he's still got to do the work. He's still got to take the marks. He's still got to kick the goals. So sure, I can understand that point, but it doesn't take away from the year that he's had.
No, God no. I mean, 71 goals. If he kicked 50 or something, like you could maybe make some arguments. Oh, he was the only one up there.
We're also not a high scoring team. That's the other thing. So for him to kick 71 goals in a
team.
Does
anyone know how many goals our team scored this year? Well, because I'd love to know how many. It'd be like 50% of our goals, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
we only scored over 100 points once, and that was against the Suns last week. So
wow. Well, we all love Nick Larky, so he'll always be our big greasy souve.
Oh, absolutely.
Ratten announced he's going to head off. I kind of. That was always going
to
happen.
Well, he was only supposed to be there for 12 months to start with.
Okay.
So the big bombshell that he was leaving was actually just the fact that when he came in, he said he wasn't staying for longer than 12 months.
Mm.
Yeah, it's the media overselling a headline being like, oh, it's a bombshell, he's leaving. His contract expired and he was always going to leave.
And I don't even think he's going. He's leaving football altogether.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it for him.
I had hoped that he would actually stay on.
I did too.
I think he had an incredible impact on the club in such a short amount of time. I think from a personnel and from a culture perspective, but I mean, you know, if he wants to leave, then you know, power to him. I think we'll always be so grateful for what he did for the club, and I think that he'll always be one of us.
That is true. I think he was always going to leave after having, like, he didn't go there wanting to take over.
No.
Any of the coaching.
He got more than what he bargained for, that's for sure.
So I think after that happened, it makes a lot of sense. The bloke didn't go there to coach a football club.
Yeah, exactly. I think he also left the club in a better place too. We were at our rock bottom when Clarko sort of had that hiatus and he got us competitive again.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a single game that we played since he took over where I'm like, where at some point of the game I was thinking we're a chance to at least win.
Yeah.
We teams like Adelaide kicked away. And
I mean, it was exciting at the start with the Essendon game and the Swans game that we lost close. We played well against the Pies and the Dogs we played pretty well against as well. So there was good performances under him. I think that was – especially that Sydney game, I think, was the first one where we were all pretty excited for what was coming. And little did we know, by 30 seconds left in the last quarter, we'd have our hearts ripped out of our chests. But, you know, at least it was exciting to watch.
Exactly.
That was also Wardlaw's first game.
That was Ratten's first game in charge.
It was.
And it was just it was a completely different, you know, pace to what we had seen, you know, in the lead up to that game. So true. I think, what he did for us, just incredibly selfless. Yeah. And, you know, you won't find too many blokes as good as him in the game.
Reece Shaw assistant coach next year?
Oh, geez.
I'm going to pretend you didn't say that.
Yeah, that's probably for the best. Wish Jack Zeeble could be the assistant coach. That'd be good. Anyway, we've got the Nick Larky and Oscar Allen bet as well, and that's finally been concluded. Obviously, Nick Larky absolutely torched Oscar Allen.
Absolutely.
We did have Big Ant on the podcast for the West Coast preview. Everyone loved Big Ant. I won't lie. He's rivaling Marnie as the favourite guest on a podcast. Yeah. So
I loved Big Ant. Everyone more than I Big loved Ant. Myself. So there you go.
Wowee. Well, Big Ant, I know you're listening to this one. There you go, mate. Big Ant has left us a voice message. We're going to listen to now. We're going to get your reaction. He's a humble man, and he's going to tell us how he thinks about the bet. Looking he did buy me a banh mi after work today.
Good lad.
He followed through.
That's class.
So if anyone ever bets with Big Ant, you know he's a trustworthy guy.
What kind of banh mi to get you?
Pork roll. Know, crispy good. Pork, crispy chili. Pork. Yeah, yeah, yes, good stuff. Chili. Good pate. Wendy's Bakery in Mitcham. If anyone needs a good banh mi around the area in the eastern suburbs,
yeah, great.
That's the one
you
to
heard
go
it
to.
Here first.
Lovely.
Jeez, I better be getting paid for this. Anyway, here's Big Ant's message.
G'day, Josh. Big Ant here. Just reaching out to you and all the Shimboners for the Further North podcast. It's a hard pill to swallow, but your All-Australian interchange in Nick Larkey has won the bet for you. I want the bet 2.0 next year. I think Alan has it in him to match and be have two of the best in the competition going goal for goal against each other. But congratulations to you and your boy. I can't say he doesn't deserve it. Well done.
He sounds so defeated.
Look, he's after round two. He's after round two next year. Larkey versus Alan. Look, I'm happy to take that bet because Nick Larkey's only getting better from here, as we know. But what did you guys make of the message that he sent us?
Yeah, sounds really defeated, but humble in defeat.
Humble in defeat, yeah. But yeah. A broken man.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, he's going to need some time, I reckon. The off-season would be a good time to reflect and process. Mm. But yeah. Now, hats off for getting the banh mi for you. So
yeah, look, yeah, like I said, he followed through. So he's a good man. We'll get Big Ant back on the podcast as well eventually. I know a lot of listeners have been wanting Big Ant back on the podcast, and I did have a listener come into the barbershop and get a haircut with me a couple of weeks ago, and he was disappointed to find Big Ant not in the barbershop on the day he came in because he was ready to banter the house down with him.
Oh, no. Oh, shame.
Yeah. Big Ant's enemy number one of the podcast and also the most loved guest we've ever had. So,
it's fantastic.
Look.
Nothing quite like a love-hate relationship.
No.
Exactly
he's
right.
Yeah. He's like a toxic ex. You know, but you kind of want to get back with, but you don't know why. But,
yeah.
You know, he is intoxicating. All right. What's going on?
Oh, geez.
One here, just the VFL, obviously got done by 100 points. How do we all feel? Just a quick one.
Yeah, I went to that game actually.
Yep.
It was rough viewing, but look, to be fair, Melbourne I think had like half their AFL list.
We did. So I looked at the team lineups.
We were very depleted.
Yeah. All of our VFL players retired.
Oh, exactly.
Imagine Cunnington and Hall in there as well.
Oh, jeez. Look, it was rough viewing seeing Aiden Bonner go up against Grundy.
Yeah. What a match.
That was.
Talk about humbling experience. What
a
match.
I rocked up and saw it, and I was like, North, you could at least give me a jump scare warning here. Like, it was rough viewing. In terms of just the size of the bodies compared to our North, like
Tomlinson and McDonald and those guys,
it was never going to happen. No. But look, for a season, I'm not sure if either of you kept up with the VFL.
A little bit.
It was only fantastic. When Hugh Greenwood was playing.
Oh, of course. All Australian ruckman.
absolutely.
But it was a really good season from them. And the only way you can really start to have a good AFL side is accountability and competition with VFL spots too.
True. So. Well, the side should only improve in the next few years as we hopefully sign some players.
Exactly right.
And Kane Turner can lead us to VFL glory next season, 100%, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right. That's enough Kane Turner chat for one day.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
That's what the Further North podcast is about. All right, let's get into the awards. So we're going to do season awards. I'm going to read them out. You guys can throw out your answers. Any spicy takes I'm here for as well. Yep. I don't want run-of-the-mill answers. Obviously, we've got best young player coming up. In brackets, I put not Sheasel.
Well, we all know it's him.
We all know it's him, but we're going to put somebody else.
Yeah.
I want arguments. I want clips. I want hot takes here. Okay?
Yep.
Cool.
Player of the season. Who is our player for the entire season of 2023?
Look, I mean, I want to say, Nick Larkey for me is the obvious choice. Mm-hmm. 71 goals. Again, like we said, in such a horrible season is fantastic. I think someone who, I don't know, maybe is a bit of a dark horse, but back half of the season, Bailey Scott. I was really impressed
especially by. Especially back half, I think. I think he was fine. He did get a bit of criticism early on in the season, but I think we did a podcast, Marnie, and sort of were like, I don't know why everyone's getting on his back a lot. He's playing fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. But no, I was really, really impressed with him this season. His work rate, I think, is the thing that stood out to me the most.
Absolutely.
Oh, he's amazing.
So you lock in Nick Larkey, though?
I still think I lock in Nick Larkey.
Okay.
Nick Larkey was the best player of the year, but I want to give a different answer, obviously. Bailey Scott played really well. LDU, when he was in the side, was excellent.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go Jack Zabel.
Okay.
That's, I think that is a really hot take.
Spicy, that's too hot early. Okay. Oh my
God. I think the thing with Zeebs, and we've spoken about this so many times throughout the year, Josh, but the ceiling for certain players is different too, and like the expectation we have for certain players is very different to, you know, from one player to the other.
I think we said it's the Aiden Core paradox.
I think, I'm in love with Aiden Core, okay? I don't, I'm not defending
the Apple Core paradox. He's Apple Core now to me. Someone messaged me and called him Apple Core, and it was the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Just say, hold on. My brother and I call him Adrian Core. I don't know why or how it started, but my brother sent me a screenshot the other day, and someone called Callan Dawson Alan Dawson.
Oh, that's
just
horrendous.
Like one of those really Nuffy like North Facebook pages, which surprisingly I'm not in any of them except for North Closer to a Flag. Gold. Anyway, fantastic. No, Jack Zeebel. I think he had a few really bad blunders and I'm not shying away from that, but I think overall he had an excellent season. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think he'll win the best and fairest, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was leading or in the top two or three along with Shees.
I reckon he would be leading it all, top two until about halfway through the year.
I'd say so. I think he had an excellent start to the year. He did teeter off slightly in the second half of the year, and then obviously he just came in as the sub each week, but he was excellent in his final game.
He was.
100%. I really think that if you want consistency for someone who was in the side the whole year, I think it's probably hard to go past him. And then Chazel's the other one.
Chazel's the other one.
Yeah. And I think, he and Larky are probably the two obvious ones. And they were, you know, celebrated and decorated on Wednesday night. But if you want a hot take, then I'd go Zeebs.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. I like it. It's spicy already.
Just giving you what you're after.
Yeah, I need it, guys. Come on. It's been a long season and we need to remain relevant and interesting, right? We need to clickbait this. Underperforming player of the year.
Oh, for me, that would be Ben McKay.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's a hot take. That's like scorching hot.
Ooh, how many Scovilles that take?
Yeah.
I feel like we're on hot ones with that bald bloke, whatever his name is. Sean.
Sean. Give me some of the bomb.
Carolina Reaper, What was the other one? I don't know. Anyway, we should probably talk about North Melbourne.
Performance-based
or attitude-based though?
I think in some ways, in some games, performance-based and in some games, attitude-based.
I think attitude's a bit harsh on Ben McKay. He's never been allowed... guy.
No, he hasn't.
And, you know, he's part of the leadership group for a reason. I think like a Luke McDonald...
For what reason?
Well, I don't really know, to be honest, but, you know, I think it's... Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, now that you mention it as well, for me to be, I reckon, either Ben McKay or even like back half of the season, Luke McDonald.
Yeah.
Luke McDonald, like I'll go with Ben McKay first just from mentality point of view. I just thought his work rate was quite underwhelming.
Compared to last season especially.
Yeah, and for someone of his size, which, you know, it's so rare to find big defenders and for big defenders to – allow themselves to be beaten so easily.
He didn't feel very strong. He was a good intercept mark. But I feel like in his one-on-one contest this year, maybe...
Yeah. Got to be better.
I think the gap between his best and worst is probably the most.
Because when he set the bar, like we said with Zeebel and Aiden Core and those guys, they set the bar at a certain point.
Yeah.
And if you know, like if Ben McKay is not arguably one of the best defenders in the league, people think he's bad. You know?
Yeah. And then Luke McDonald, I mean, as a captain, you'd expect a lot better in terms of ball use and like your just ability to spot up players, your ability as a defender as well to, I guess, well, literally stop goals.
Yeah.
And
it's just hard in our defense, to be fair to him, but
exactly
I agree.
Right.
But there are players who played well, like Zeebel.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Zeebel can stand out with his effort alone, though. Like the amount of intercept marks, and as much as he kicked those couple out of bounds, I think his kicking was the biggest reason that we played that, especially early on that high possession game where it was chip.
Exactly.
He led that.
Yeah.
That high risk play. Yeah. Especially probably those first four or five rounds.
Because I remember sitting there watching the first game being like, this is so different. Like we're chipping the ball around, we're finding open play and we're moving it. It was slow, but we kept possession.
Even against the Hawks and Carlton that we lost, it was still that style of play. Unfortunately, we went back into the kick long to a contest play.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that sort of play was led by Zeebel. But yeah, Luke McDonald and Ben McKay.
Lock in one.
I'll probably actually... I'd probably go for Luke McDonald just because he was maybe a little bit more disappointing.
Because Mackay did have some very good games, but I don't really know a Luke McDonald game.
Yeah, there was no standout games for McDonald all year.
Ben Mackay, I think just Ben Mackay, the gap between his best and worst.
Yeah, that's fair.
But he had better games than Luke McDonald for me.
Okay. Marnie.
I was also going to say Luke McDonald, so I'll keep it different. I'm not going to say Sherry because I had no expectations on him to begin with.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
An interesting left of field one for me, but I was going to say Jaden Stevenson.
I was thinking about Steve-O, but I don't know. I think there's maybe a little bit of recency bias there because before the bye, he was really good.
It's how he plays with under Clarko and how he played under Ratten, like chalk and cheese.
Oh, 100%.
Now, he and Clarko have developed a really great relationship and obviously the back end of last year, he was really ordinary. Most of last year, actually, he was really ordinary. And I feel like at the start of this year, he came out fresh, he came out firing. Yeah, he looked like his old self again, right?
Mm, yeah, yeah.
So then take Clarko out of the equation from that Sydney game. And Steve-O just looked completely lost.
Yeah.
And he kind of just looked like he lost his spark a little bit. So okay. For me, it was the start, and it's the same with Ben Mackay. Like the difference between his best and his worst. I was thinking about Cam Zerha, but I'm not going to put Cam Zerha in the equation because Cam Zerha's ability to reinvent himself as a midfielder when he wasn't really performing.
I think the injuries give him a little pass as well. Zerha's a good shout for
it. Because I think the way that Zerha played in the midfield, he was unbelievable. I actually thought he had a really good season.
It's good to throw him in there 100%. For a bit of chaos though, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think while we're so used to him being so dominant in front of goal, the way Eddie Ford and Paul Curtis stepped up in the second half of the year filled that absence of Zerha not kicking goals. So he could have some more midfield time and he still had an impact. So I think Zerha's ability to have an impact away from goal is so much greater than what we got from Stevenson. And for me, Steve-O, you know, he obviously didn't play the last couple of games of the year. He was injured. They put him on ice, cue in the rack. But when Clarko did come back, Steve-O did play a couple of games and he looked completely like his old self again. It's so weird.
It's very true. Yeah. I mean, one of them there is actually an interesting point. Maybe someone I would throw in there is Paul Curtis, because I think from last year to this year, and I love Paul Curtis and he's going to be a star, but I think his season maybe this year compared to last year was
probably
very
underwhelming,
very disappointing. And I think I'm not confident when he's lining up in front of goal. I think he takes a good mark. He leads up the ground. He's one of those players that will lead from half forward to wing and get the ball. And we've seen moments like, which game was it that he tapped the ball like between his legs for someone like Hugh Greenwood kicked a goal? That was the one we went to for 29. It wasn't the Bombers game.
No.
Hawks. I think it was the first goal we kicked against the Hawks.
And that was a funky ass goal. That was so good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like his goal of the year contender on the boundary. Like
then if he wasn't doing that, you know.
Sitting here at the end of the season, I think Eddie Ford's gone way past him.
Yeah, I'd have them both in the 22 every day of the week, though. I think Paul Curtis, what he showed last year.
What Eddie Ford can offer, I think, is greater at this current stage
than Paul Curtis. It wouldn't surprise me if Curtis is the better player in a couple of years' time. I think he's got a bit more natural talent. I think Eddie, and I hope they both become A-graders, obviously. I love Eddie Ford so much. Don't get me started, but I think Eddie Ford is going to be the more solid player for his career.
Yeah.
But I think Paul Curtis will either be a 10 out of 10 or a 3 out of 10. But Eddie Ford's going to give you that 7 or 8 out of 10 every single week.
Paul Curtis has superstar potential. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. He's more dynamic than Eddie Ford. Ford's consistently solid. Since he came into the team for Curtis Taylor, hasn't even looked like getting dropped.
Oh, 100%.
But Curtis can win you a game with 5 touches.
I wouldn't even say now that you mentioned it, Curtis Taylor could be a bit of a disappointment.
Well, I think he's how he got back into the team late in the year kind of voids him from that. I think to fight his way back into the team, and when he came in, reinvent himself with a tagging role and that sort of stuff. I would have probably said that too, but I think his last 6 weeks or whatever he played was good enough.
I think he had a good return for sure.
Yeah.
I think Luke McDonald would have to be.
I think so.
Like we could talk about all these players, but I think Luke McDonald is the most disappointing player of the year.
Yeah. I would agree with Luke McDonald if we're all going to try and come to a.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe that's a good thing we'll try and come to a consensus at the end of these as well.
Yeah.
All right. Best young player of the year, not Harry Sheezel.
Oh,
young player or first year player?
Young player, maybe been in the like a couple of three seasons max in the league.
I mean, I would have said. I mean, I still kind of lean towards Wardlaw, but I also I also do think Eddie Ford as well. I have been really impressed by him.
Yeah.
I mean, look, maybe in 12 months' time, I really hope my answer is Braden George. But obviously we haven't seen him. I hope it's Braden George in 12 months when we're having this conversation.
Who's going to win the Rising Star next year, Braden George or George Wardlaw? Okay. It'll be someone with George in their name.
Can he ever tie?
Yeah. Do you reckon George Wardlaw can win the Brownlow and the Rising Star in the same year?
Why not?
I reckon he will. Yeah, absolutely.
Sports
we literally
heard it here first.
I mean, like, Byron Pickett won the Rising Star, then we won the flag the next year. So Sheasel won the Rising Star. So we're literally winning the flag. So yeah,
you can lock that in. Guys.
Exactly.
Let's do it.
But to go best young player, I reckon maybe it could be recency bias. I want to say Wardlaw, but I'm probably leaning more towards Eddie Ford.
Ford had more games, I guess. Yeah.
I don't know if we saw enough of Wardlaw, to be honest.
No.
To be able to make that call. I think he had an incredible impact on all of us in the short time that he was inside.
Yeah. He'd be in my top three, but probably not. I mean, excluding Sheasel, I reckon he sits number two to Ford.
Okay.
I would say I agree with those. I also would put Will Phillips in the mix.
Interesting shout.
I don't understand the in and out all season. I personally don't think that playing him for a few games and then giving him a bit of a break in the VFL was really good for him. I actually thought that for his confidence.
Yeah.
It would have been better just to keep him in the side the whole year.
He needs continuity.
Because every time he got a run of games, he just looked better and better each week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he was having a really great impact by the end of the year, and I think that he really could be something special. I think next year he's probably one of the players I would say has the most pressure on them going into next season, because I think if he can't deliver up to this promise of pick three, and it's not his fault that he's gone pick three, but ultimately you were picked pick three, the club's seeing something in you, and I think if he doesn't deliver to that next season, there's a big, big problem.
Yep.
But I think I think it's technically his first season, and I think that he had a really, really good year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's improved a lot, and his ability to get just sheer volume of footy is what.
Well, he never played in that inside mid role.
No,
we always saw him on a wing or trying.
But he'd always be getting like 20, 30 touches a game, and
his clearance work is just phenomenal as well.
Yeah,
especially in the absence of Cunnington.
Oh, 100%.
Someone needed to step up and do that.
Well, that's the thing. Especially, I think, Phillips kind of has the potential to be that clearance player. But also someone with the physicality of Zerha, like those two, I see as filling the gap.
I see him as a Joel Selwood type. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Joel Selwood was,
but
Joel
like
Selwood
him.
Did the dirty work, but maybe wasn't known as an in and under guy.
No.
You know what I mean? But he wasn't an outside guy. He was just sort of orchestrating everything around him to make it click.
Yeah, and hopefully Will Phillips becomes that guy. I think you're right, Marnie. Next year will be sort of like the real crunchy for him. I think he'll be all right. I think he'll still build on it. I'd be surprised if he goes backwards.
Yeah, very true.
Yep.
Yeah, I would agree with Eddie Ford as well. I think he definitely was, for argument's sake, I don't know, someone who didn't play many games, but I guess I'm dreaming here, but maybe like a Josh Goda, I think he played pretty well, especially when he came back into the team.
Yeah.
So did Bergman.
Well, I was going to say Miller Bergman. I think I'm baffled why Miller Bergman wasn't in the team for the length of time he was.
Like, exactly, yeah.
Genuinely, I don't understand. I know he had a couple of down games, especially that Hawks game. I think we were all at, and he was the sub and came on and maybe wasn't his best performance, but sort of like the Will Phillips thing, there's so many players in this team without having to name them all, because we know we're going to name. I don't know why they're getting games when Will Phillips or Miller Bergman isn't getting the consistent run when they probably deserve it.
Exactly right. And we have so many, like, especially our back line for me is my biggest concern. We'll obviously touch on that later. Mm. But, yeah, to see young defenders like Goda and Bergman get an opportunity, that's something I just want to see more of.
They're a good 1-2 punch as well. I remember when the lineup was announced for round one and we had both Goda and Bergman in there. And I thought, oh, what is Clarko doing?
Mm.
And they both just played out of their skin. It was great.
Works.
The synergy between them, I think, is something that, you know, we really need to nurture that relationship, because those are the kind of guys that are going to take us forward, you know, for the next 5, 10 years.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm. Take us Eddie Ford. How about that?
Love it.
Nice.
Oh, thanks, guys. Most improved player. This will be interesting.
Oh, geez. Most improved. That's a really tough one.
If you've got one, Marnie, you go.
It's
got
to be Nick Larkey. He was good last year, but he's taken his game to a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm.
I do see it.
this year. I think he has to, for me, undoubtedly be the most improved, which is wild because obviously we knew how good he was before. But yeah, he took his game to another level this year, and I think he was definitely for me our most improved. I'd probably also put LDU in that, and it's the same. Well, it's for me.
He was very good last year, though.
He was in the second half of last year. So, basically, when Patch Adams came in, LDU went. I also think he took another step up because you don't have Cunnington in that midfield.
I forgot Lee Adams coached us, and I'm having Vietnam style flashbacks right now. Oh my God.
Yeah, I think that both of them are very good players and they were really good last year. But LDU was hard because he was probably hampered with injury a little bit. But I think both of them kind of took their game to another level this year. Mm. So I think they're probably the two that I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, I would probably say LDU or, for me, I would say Bailey Scott, because of the way that he built into the season as well. Yep. Naturally,
do you think it's a big improvement on what he did last year, though?
I think so.
Okay.
Just in terms of his work rate is something that I probably noticed a lot more this year compared to last year. It's gotten him more of the footy, and it's gotten him in and around contests a lot more.
Yeah.
It's for me probably more of a surprising one, but yeah, I just find that his work rate and has gotten him much more reward for effort. Yeah,
I think you could throw Eddie Ford in that conversation as well.
Actually,
I think you could. I think maybe I'm more thinking with this award like someone a bit more established though. But I do agree with you.
Yeah.
I also would throw Jack Siebel in there.
Yeah, well, there's a few names I was going to throw in there.
He did have a pretty ordinary like year in 2022. So. Even though it's his last year.
I think this was one.
He stepped up.
Jack Siebel's never won a Sid Barker medal.
No, he hasn't.
I think Larky should win it because he has been our best player for this year.
I think going to win it.
And Sheezel obviously comes
two horse race, I think.
But I think Zeebs will have a real crack at it. And I think his year, like I said, I thought he was, I'd put his name in as one of our best players.
We've been some of the biggest Zeebel defenders the whole year.
You could probably argue that he improved this year.
What about a Jaden Stevenson? Going from that David Noble ball and just looking like an absolute bust of a player to being one of our better players.
I was going to say, for a while he was scoring more goals than Harry Mackay in the Coleman.
Absolutely.
I think it was up until round 14, round 15.
Yeah.
And he's not a forward. Like he weighs about 3 kilos.
Yeah.
Like he has the same build as that skinny kid from high school. Like
the guy listens to Eminem all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Just lockers.
Yeah, like he literally is built like an Eshay. And
he's going to come out with like red boots next year.
Yeah, he'll play in TNs. Let's be honest. But no, like he, like you said, he kind of reinvented himself, especially that first half of the year. Sure, we may be a little bit underwhelmed with his back half of the year, but I think he is worth being in that conversation for his improvement because I think so. Yeah, just because of his work around
goal. Even North fans wanted. I guarantee I was listening to hashtag Kangaroos and they did an episode at the start of the year where Dean got everyone to write their best 22 in.
Yeah,
and Stevenson was 50-50 in a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
I think we all wanted him to do well, but the fan base, if you asked North fans before this season started about Stevenson, I don't reckon many people would have been that high on him.
Well, I think now Clarko knows and Steve-O knows where is best for him. I think maybe that was one of the problems.
That relationship is definitely, that saved his career in my opinion.
And I think that's the thing because David Noble came into the club being so unequipped to handle a team.
Unequipped to do anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh. He didn't know where players work fit, where they
didn't
best.
Didn't play AFL.
Well, as a consequence, the players don't know either.
Well, no.
They don't know where
Coach,
their strengths are.
Where do I go?
Are.
I don't know.
Great question.
Yeah. Lunch?
Yeah, and then well, you get someone as experienced as Clarko. We're going from someone who literally did not know where to put players on the field to someone like Clarko who knows exactly where to put Steve-O. It's going to build his confidence.
And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where he goes.
Okay, controversial one. What about Taron Thomas?
I thought about Taron Thomas, but I don't think he's ever – like last season I feel like with all the personal stuff going on, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I did think that one though.
I think he's always been good.
He's always never not been good.
He also looked like he hit another level in the second half of the season.
Another level, yes.
He did,
but I think there's been bigger improvements in the team, but I did think of Taron, absolutely. The only other one I would think of is my guy, Aiden Corr.
Your guy?
He's not my guy.
No, the love of my life.
Marnie's man.
I can actually see that.
Marnie, if Aiden Corr, Jasper Pittard and Hugh Greenwood were standing in a room and one was like, let's hang out, which one are you going to hang out with?
Hugh Greenwood.
Good choice.
Yeah.
He's a family man, Hugh.
Yeah. Hugh Greenwood's one of the greatest people I've ever met.
Aiden Corr, though.
I'm in love with him.
Oh, yeah.
I take a shot every time I tell you I'm in love with Aiden Corr. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole again,
Marnie, because I was angry last time.
Who was that Saints player that he broke the ankles of?
Brad Hill?
I think it was Brad Hill. That was absolute filth.
I think it was.
I don't know if it was Brad Hill.
Whoever it was, it was
unbelievable.
Some say they're still laying on the ground in the back pocket of Marvel Stadium.
He got put in Rosette, I reckon.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Josh.
Oh, God.
Are you now on board the Aiden Corr train?
No, I'm not, Marnie.
Yes, you are. You're lying despite me.
I'm not. It's going to take a lot of work. I think Aiden Corr had a very solid,
More overlap handballs with Kane Turner.
Oh my God. I hate this podcast. I'm so glad the season's over.
If you went into my dreams at night, that is what you would say.
No. I'm already in there, Marnie. So
the long bomb on the run outside 50. Yeah. That is actually what dreams are made of. The only thing that could make that better is Dan Howe kicking the game.
Do you know how many people sent me that clip after Aiden Corr kicked that line? The AFL shared it.
Oh my God.
Look, that's how good it was.
Aiden Corr
is amazing.
Played very well for six or seven games this season.
That's six or seven more games than his entire career.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. Yes. Don't even get me started on Jerry.
So you're in love with him?
No, I'm Aiden absolutely Corr. Not in love with him. Aiden Corr to me now is neutral.
Okay.
He's vanilla ice cream. He's.
You are a hard, hard man to crack.
He's been awful. He, apart from the one game he played on Buddy Franklin, before Griffin Lowe got injured, name another Aiden Corr performance.
I'm sure I could find some. I just haven't been taking particular attention until...
If Aiden Corr does what he does, what he's done the last 6 weeks or so, two months to be fair to him, right? Next season with another big defender beside him, then he's fine. If we go into next season with Aiden Corr as our second best key defender, we are not looking good.
He could be one of our most important players next season.
I'm not doubting that, but I think like... He's like the size of a key defender. This isn't the conversation we're meant to be having. He's like the size of a key defender, but plays like a running halfback kind of guy. And this is why every time he gets caught one-on-one, he will lose. And he's a decent if he could play that Josh Gibson role or like that Lockie Hansen role where like Majak Dore role where they cut third man up, cut across packs, intercept mark and have clean disposal. Maybe Majak didn't have the best disposal, but like a Josh Gibson type. I can see that.
Yeah.
But if Mackay stays, it needs to be Mackay and like a Lewis Melican or someone that we get in.
Yeah.
Has to be. Or a Curtin if we draft Curtin. But it can't be Aiden Corr being one of the top two best key defenders in that 22.
I think Zeeble's retirement opens that opportunity for Aiden
Jackson
Corr.
Jackson Archer needs to take that Zeeble role though.
Yeah, I reckon he does. It's going to be a big, big year for him.
Yeah.
Archer or Corr?
Archer.
Yeah.
Both.
He's got to build himself up physically.
Corr needs to come out next year and do this exactly the same thing from the back.
Corr will be better next year.
Yeah.
All right, we're moving on to the next question. I can't do this anymore.
Here we go.
I can't.
I've broken him, everyone.
Look, if in the off season, Marnie, you've triggered me. I hate this so much. In the off season, if content is so dire and sparse, you and me are getting on a podcast and we're just talking Aiden Corr.
Done. With a little bit of Hugh Greenwood on the side.
We'll talk about Hugh at the end so I end happy, but not before because then I'll get mad and then stay mad. All right. The best. Don't look at me like that. Stop. She's just triggering me. Okay. Sorry, listeners. Best win. Not many to pick from.
Oh,
Don't laugh at that, Marnie.
The best win.
Best win. I know. That was
Look, it's grim.
I'm laughing because she's laughing so much. Fuck. You're going to have to take this, mate. You All take right. this.
All right. While Marty recollects herself, Jesus Christ, I reckon.
Steer the ship.
Here we go. I reckon for me, of the three, the West Coast one for me was too stressful. The Gold Coast one was a relief.
Well, the Fremantle one wasn't any better.
Well, the Fremantle, I reckon the, well, to be honest, the Fremantle,
Fremantle one was out on the full. Yeah.
Don't say it, Marty.
Genuinely for me, the Fremantle one, because we went
just
to
like
Perth.
Sydney's goal didn't hit the post. Or Adelaide's goal, sorry, against Sydney.
Yeah. Yeah, just because the for the Fremantle game, we had no right to win it. And no. We played probably, in my opinion, that was probably, like in terms of the quality of footy, Gold Coast was better. In terms of just like what it meant for the club, I reckon the Fremantle game was probably...
We were all on cloud nine after that game.
We absolutely were.
Like,
yeah.
There was also kind of a mixed feeling for Harley Reid or a win at the end.
Speak for yourself. I was gunning for the win.
I know you were. I know you were, mate. Yeah. But look, does anyone not think the Gold Coast win? Can we make it? Well, you've made a case for
the
Fremantle
win.
It
was the West Coast win. Okay. I'm back, everyone. Hi, sorry about that.
Mine's collected herself.
It's the for me personally, I am not the biggest fan of watching footy on TV. A lot of people do know this. So to be in person for that win, I think that was just the best way to start the year.
I'm jealous because I haven't. The last time I went and saw them win live, I didn't go to that game.
The Ben Brown game. Round 22, 2019.
No, I wasn't there. I watched that one on TV. I don't remember. It was probably Brad Scott era.
Jeez.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, for me, before the West – I went to the West Coast game. Before that, it was against the Hawks in 2019.
Because I can't go on the Saturday. Wow. The Saturdays.
So I've seen us win three games in 3 years. So
– I don't think I've seen us win – it could – Oh my God. I'm going to have to find this out instead of stuttering on a podcast.
This is the most North Melbourne fan moment I have ever
of
heard
recent
of.
History anyway.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say the Gold Coast win. So we've all picked a different one here, which is good conversation. Just because of how clean we move the ball. And I think we hopefully got a glimpse of what we can potentially do.
The one thing that I loved about the Gold Coast game, too many coasts.
Different coasts. Technically, there's only one coast.
Yeah.
Thanks for that wonderful insight.
Think about that.
The one thing I loved about the Gold Coast win is we were, four or five goals down?
Yeah,
and the
28
way we were able
points.
To,
that's true.
You know, we were able to actually fight our way back. And we've done it quite a few times this year, but to actually be able to keep the foot on the accelerator for four quarters and walk away with, you know, a big win, I think that was really pleasing. But to be there in person against West Coast, nothing tops that for me.
Okay. All right. Hopefully you don't laugh as much at this one, Marnie.
Hit me.
Worst loss?
Well, I reckon there's two for me. Either the D's game, where we lost by 90.
Yes, you don't have to tell us this.
Actually, no, three.
We did play the D's twice, so it's good to clarify.
You did play the D's twice, not the second one.
The ones where I think we performed bad are the ones that made me feel bad.
All of them. 20 of them.
But I reckon the worst performance was probably the D's game for me. It was just we were so out of our depth. Our work rate, I hate Kane Corns, but I will say that he was right. Our work rate was shocking.
I am so lucky I had my work's fourth birthday dinner that night. And wasn't home to watch it. Oh. And I checked the score.
They did you a big favour.
Well, they did. Thank God for my work because my mental health would have been severely impacted.
Oh, God. Horrendous. Watching our friend Charlie go down.
Yeah.
Oh,
the takoyaki helped, that's for sure.
Yeah. My other two would be, the Sydney game was horrible.
I think it was fun to watch, but because the pain that you felt at the end of the game was just...
I'll tell you something. I didn't feel pain after that loss. Okay, this is what I did. I sat there.
Don't tell me you felt joy.
No, I didn't.
Wow, we were competitive. Woohoo!
I tell you, you did, Buddy Franklin. So I was sitting there watching that game and this was this on a Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday 1:45.
So I was at work for the first half of this game because I finished work at 3 on Saturdays.
Oh, yeah,
no,
of course.
So I got home and watched the rest of it. And this was this was Ratton's first game, right?
Yeah, it was.
And Warlord's first game. So I was sitting there watching the rest of the game, and when the game stopped like 2 minutes because no one knew what was going on in the last 30 seconds of it.
Yeah.
And all my brain went to was, I wonder how they're going to screw us this time. And when it happened, yeah. I was like, I wasn't mad. I just went, of course. And I had no feeling.
I did kind of think that at the back of my head.
There was no way it was going for us.
I'm so used to the Brad Scott era of us choking close games. And I'm like, that I'm just like, we will lose
the
this.
Adelaide game. That's the one that gets me.
Petrenko.
That's right, guys. Everyone listening. We are all fine and have gotten over that game in 2013.
If there's no podcast next week, guys, please, can you do a welfare check on all of us?
Oh, geez. Yeah, but I reckon...
Lock one in.
The third one was the West Coast game. For me, that was rock bottom.
Oh,
yeah. That was,
for me, that was rock bottom.
That was terrible. Wow.
Lock one of them in.
Melbourne or West Coast? I'm going to say West Coast.
Yeah,
I was sold on my answer, and then I just heard all of those, and I was like, "Wow, we
what was
are
yours going
terrible."
To be?
No, mine. I'm still going to keep mine the same. Was the second Hawthorn game? I thought that was just about that one too.
Jeez, we've had a few.
That was deplorable.
That was one of the games of all time.
Like we met Charlie Combin that day. That was fun.
Yeah. Well, I was mad. He's such a great guy.
He's a good guy.
He's such a good guy.
We're literally just talking about what games we play on Steam. He's mad.
Yeah, we're talking about Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Yeah. It was so good. Yeah. And he was just like, he gave us like a really good explanation as to like why they're struggling.
Yeah.
And it was so insightful.
It was.
And then we just watched the second half and watched us struggle even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Sonia came down for the Bulldogs game.
Bulldogs,
that's right.
And
yeah. But yeah, Chom came down for the Hawks game, which was the only highlight to a really good
that
game.
That is true.
I think that's a really valid
that's
one.
A good
that
one.
Was because I think going into that game, you kind of think, okay, this is a game that's genuinely winnable.
I went in thinking we would win that
and
game. Wasn't confident.
To see us just completely
just
make a meal of it was just horrific. I also felt really flat after Good Friday because I thought that. The performance was there, though. Well, that was a winnable game.
You played Aiden Bonner on Charlie Kernow.
The frustrating part about that game, and I don't want to be an umpire.
Aiden Bonner's had some big opponents this year. He's had Charlie Kernow. He's locked up Kernow and he's locked up Grundy.
Oh, my poor guy.
He's the swing man we need.
No, he's not. He won't be there next year, but we'll get on to that later. I think the reason I was so deflated after that game is I think that we actually were really competitive and we probably could have won that game. I don't want to be an umpire basher. I don't want to be that person. In the third quarter, there was like a 10-minute patch where Carlton probably got, three or four free kicks in front of goal and that just completely killed the whole game.
That is true. Some of those free kicks were – this is what we said in the game. We were like, why is the Blues getting all the free kicks in their goal square and all of ours are in the back pocket?
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that was probably really frustrating. I just felt flat because I was like, we really could have won that game. But I think worst loss was definitely that second game against the Hawks.
That's a good shout.
Yeah, I think it's a good shout. Yeah, so yeah, that – I mean, for me, I think still the Weagles.
Sorry, your eyes twitching. I can see you getting some flashbacks.
Oh, God.
Trauma.
Yeah. Nah, the Weagles game definitely.
I'm going to have a different one, which was this actually the same. And just look, I actually agree. Probably the Hawthorn one or the West Coast one for me. Not actually watching the D's game. I watched the KO Mini a little as much as I could, merely just for this podcast, which you guys should thank me for, your listeners, because I had to sit through that knowing after how badly I got beaten. Anyway. I said this one in the midway point of the season, and this is the moment of the season that I knew we were going to be bad. The Gold Coast game for Goldie's 300th in round six.
Oh, God.
That's a good one, yeah.
Forgot about that.
I
went up there expecting we were going to win that one.
Yeah.
And the Gold Coast, we didn't know where they were at.
We just can't win there.
They're actually one of our bogey sides. That win we had against them in round 23 is one of the first wins we've had against them probably for about four or five years.
I agree. Even I watched there's a good YouTube page. I can't remember what the name of the page is called, but they recently did a video about the D's tanking in that era.
Is that A to Z footy?
It might be. I'm not 100% sure.
Or egg footy, one of those two.
No, it's not egg footy. Anyway, I watched this and they were talking about the Gold Coast and the expansion sides and they talked about all these times when Carmichael Hunt was there where they did beat North.
Jagger
and
Skilbeck.
I was like,
that's the name of him. Yeah.
What's it?
Jagger Skilbeck?
I think that's it.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
I think that was it. And yeah, I'm just like, wow, we have lost against those guys so much. Even when like those 2014, 15, 16 days when we had a good team.
They definitely have the wood over us, for sure.
For me... Like arguably like Goldstein is goat tier in this club, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And to go up there to just to such a shitty, like the Gold Coast sucks, right? The Gold Coast sucks. It's fun to visit for a few days. It sucks.
If hell was a street, it would be Cavill Avenue. I hate that. I hate that street so much.
Goldstein deserved better. No one played well. And that was the first moment of the season. After riding high from the first two, the next four we lost. I think the only loss that was really bad was the Brisbane loss in between
which
that.
Which was expected.
Which was expected, playing on an under-16s ground. And
good fish and chips, though.
Yeah, I heard. I've heard the word. We just didn't turn up, and that was the moment for me where I went, great, another one of these seasons. And that's where I completely lost the faith that we would have the season I maybe predicted before.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
so depressing.
All right, next topic, guys. Anyway, this will perk up the mood. Moment of the season. Highlight play, off-field thing, just moment of the season.
Ben Cunnington's first goal in his last game.
Yes, that was amazing.
That was unbelievable.
Okay. Interesting. You got Jack Ziebelhanger in his last.
Yeah, that was amazing as well. But yeah, there was just something about like the return and.
Then he retired the prick.
The goal.
So he can't play like that and then leave us.
And then the second goal, I mean, the roar from the first goal, and I think just that was just pure joy. The second goal, obviously, to get us, you know, back in with a bit of a sniff in the final quarter. But God, that first goal.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually think I almost cried. Of happiness.
You can say you
honest.
Cried, man. It's a safe space here. You cried before about my best win question.
Yeah,
so.
I actually. Yeah.
Not the first time you've cried in this podcast today.
I definitely agree. That or for me, this is more of a Bay 29 specific one, but having Sonia come out, that was
that
class.
Was
that was class.
That.
To have
that
Sonia Hood and Jennifer Watt, the president and CEO of North, come and say hello to us and sit with us for the entire of the last quarter.
I'm excited. When we met Chom against Hawthorn, he's guaranteed us to point to Bay 29 and flex at us when he kicks a goal next season.
Oh, did he actually?
Yeah.
That's class.
Yeah. We were talking to him. I said to him, you know now where to run to. Even if you kick a goal at the other end, mate, you know exactly where to run to. Down to Bay 29, give us a flex, give us a wave. And he said, I'll do it, mate. So
I do have one more.
I've got many more.
I'll give you one more. Clarko on the boundary line.
Oh, the holding
Against Freo.
Awesome.
That is elite.
Yeah.
That was so good.
That entire Clarko on the bench in that Freo game was incredible. He was so animated.
Yeah, fantastic.
He looked like a fan.
And he looked like he was loving footy again.
Yeah, and that connected me to it. That's
it was, and like we were winning by like 2 points at the time and I was nervous. I'm like, haha, that's nice. Anyway, I was like, start sweating again.
Anyway, we're only 2 points up, so it's fine.
Yeah.
You know what? That is going to be my, like I've got others to name which we'll talk about. That is my moment of the season.
So good.
The moment you said that, I got happy just then.
Yeah.
I think that was just, that was absolutely the moment of the
gold.
Season. Paul Curtis, goal of the year.
Yeah, that's true.
Goal of the year. Wardlaw debut.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was another one. Any more you can think of?
How good is George Wardlaw, honestly?
It's just George Wardlaw. That's my guy.
One of my personal favourites. Hugh Greenwood's cameo in the forward.
Hugh Greenwood ruck against
line.
West Coast?
Yeah, his cameo performance in the forward line the first quarter against the Bulldogs when he kicked two Ripper goals. That was sensational.
My personal one was Aiden Corr and Kane Turner's overlap handball.
Yes. What about Dan Howe's sealer?
Aiden Corr's sidestep ankle breaker?
Yeah. Oh, incredible. No. That was, I remember.
That was good.
I remember because like
it was so good.
I know.
We were joking on the page about whether we throw the game for Harley Reid, the Gold Coast one, and it was just the fact that every single player pretty much had a good game, and the fact that the two players that we have memed about the most on the page. Literally had an overlap handball and goal. I was like, oh, the footy gods are just taking the piss now.
Yeah.
Like now you're just having fun. You're just taking us for a ride here.
The footy gods up there just moving the dominoes around.
I saw that and I just started laughing.
Yeah.
Like it was just like, it wasn't even happy. It was just funny.
No, see the Dan Howe goal broke me. I think I just laughed for 10 minutes. I was like, did he really just kick the seal up?
Yeah.
Like,
Dan Howe kicking it backwards?
Don't. That was it. That's no.
What about Tristan Jerry's one hit out to advantage?
Oh, jeez.
Pulling out the big guns. Christian Cherry spends more time on... I've said this too many times.
No, we don't need to go
on
Christian Cherry.
But
anyway, those are my top moments.
Yeah. Is there any more? I mean, I think we've probably covered them.
I did love Kane Turner's opening goal against West Coast in Perth.
I was watching that with Big Ann at work and I was like, it's going to be one of those days. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Clarko holding the ball. That's the one for me. Okay, breakout player in 2024.
Or
someone, even someone who's in the twos or, you know?
Yeah, I reckon in terms of a breakout player.
It could be someone who hasn't played. It could be someone who's going to, you Kane think Turner. Next year, do you think Jackson Archer's going to be the best lockdown defender in the league or something?
Brayden George, I reckon. Mm. I've heard so much hype about him. Even, again, I've said it before, like I remember like bumping into Nick Larkey at a local footy match and completely without me even asking him, all I asked him was, how are you feeling about the game this week? It was against the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Two things he brought up were like, obviously he's like, yeah, no, feeling good. But then straight away, he's just like, oh man, I'm so excited about the team. And he like brought up, he's like, oh, Brayden, like Brayden George by name, like so excited. He's looking amazing. So if you're just getting that hype spontaneously.
Oh, I've heard it too, even from North fans. Yeah. Everyone's
starting
to
people are really excited about him.
Like I think he will have a good year. Yeah, and it'll be really, really exciting to see. So he, for me, is the clear cut breakout player.
I guess we don't even have to go to Marnie. It's going to be Tristan Jerry redemption next year, Marnie?
No.
Okay.
Jacob Edwards.
Josh Goda.
Jacob Edwards.
I forgot about him.
No, I'm going to go. I'll go two ends of the field. I'm going to say Josh Goda. I think when he gets you know, a consistent
run
at it.
Can Bay 29 make the meh? Can we do the goat sound every time he gets his disposal?
That's a bit of American college football, I reckon.
Yeah. You know, every time Saad kicks the ball and they go, ooh.
Ooh, yeah, the wood.
Can we do
yeah.
the goat?
Yeah.
goes, meh.
Yeah.
Every time he kicks the ball.
Oh,
it's
geez.
A thing, guys.
Yep.
Marnie likes it.
Yeah.
Marnie likes it.
Go off, Josh.
Were you just impressed by my goat noise?
I loved it.
Very accurate. Highland Mountain goat, that one.
What are the other goats in your repertoire?
Kane Turner.
We've lost the plot. Put yourselves together.
Josh Goda is I would say, the one for me. And then provided he can get his body right, I think Chom's going to have a monster season.
Oh, I'm so excited for him. Purely from a Bay 29 point of view and the fact that he's gotten
he's
around us. But 100%. He looks really exciting. Yeah. So it'd be great to see him.
Be good to put all those pieces together. I think he was really building nicely. You know, he was really competitive in the air. He's also really agile. So, you know, on the floor.
Do you reckon he goes back? Or do you reckon he's going to be in the forward line?
That's a good question.
I reckon there's, look, from all the word from free agency and everything, it looks like we're going to be going pretty hard at some key defenders. But
we
if not, I mean, I'd probably give him a shot.
I think he's, I don't know, up the on the wing, maybe.
I've said it a few times, the Mason Wood role.
Kind of role. You have said that a few times.
Yeah, I can say that.
Matthew Richardson role from back in the day.
I just think he reminds me of Jared Waite. I think he's really got the, he's really athletic and he's
that's
really
agile. That's a really good shout. Yeah.
And I think he's really got the ability to push up the ground and have an impact. His marking, I mean, he doesn't really drop much.
No.
And his tackling pressure is really good too.
Yeah.
So I think that it would be an injustice to throw him into the back line, to be honest.
Okay. Interesting.
Not opposed to it, obviously, if that's what's going to benefit his game and he finds a spot down there and it helps the team. But I still think that he's really valuable sort of in attack.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else we can think of just to debate for the breakout play?
Phoenix Spicer.
Jack Marnie when he gets his deal?
Oh, jeez.
He won't be there next year either.
His shoulder won't be there.
Yeah.
Some say it's still down in Tassie.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry. So
Will Phillips as well, I think, is the other one.
That could be a good one.
Yeah. Nice. I was going to say Will Phillips, but.
What player do you think goes to A grade? We've only probably got, like, I'd say Larky and LDU, and I guess She's, let's say, maybe are our A tier players.
Yeah, I think Shees needs another season for him to
I would probably agree with that. So let's say LDU and Larky are,
I think,
arguably
they're already there.
Some of the best of their positions. Who takes the step up? For me, I'm thinking Taran Thomas.
I was about to say Taran Thomas. Yes.
Yeah,
just because of the class.
I'd love to see Jai have a big year next year.
Jai, actually, now you talk about, was going to be one of mine, I feel maybe disappointing player of the year. I think Jai wasn't bad by any means, but the regression in possessions and things like that from him the season before. I'd love to see Jai have a massive year, but I do think he might need to reinvent himself on a win or something like that.
Yeah.
Because as clean as I love his sidestep and I think his disposal was better this year, he just didn't get around the footy as much and if we do, it looks like we're probably bringing in a midfielder. If it's Reed or Sanders or McKercher, or, you know, you're going to get Will Phillips more time in there. Wardlaw's going to be in there the whole time. Mm. I don't know. I don't know if Jai's there all
this,
the time.
This is probably my hottest one, but I reckon Bailey Scott has potential.
I was going to say Bailey Scott too. Yeah. The only thing that I would argue with Bailey Scott is his role is more of a workhorse role rather than a superstar.
He's not a glamorous player.
You know, game breaker kind of.
He could be.
I was currently not.
Yeah, I could see that going to A tier. Yeah, we'll go to top tier.
Yeah, he's a very, very, very good player.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Luke McDonald it is. Anyway, I feel so mean. I love Lukey Mac. All right, a couple of questions here, all right? Should Ben McKay go?
He will.
Do I want him to go?
It's what you guys want and what you think's best. Not if he or won't he. It's what would you guys do if you can make the call?
I would like to keep him. I don't think he will stay.
So, okay, say in this scenario, he goes pick three, he stays no pick three.
That's a good question.
I'd keep him. If there was a chance to keep him, you would, because what with pick three, you're going to take what, a key defender?
Yeah. I mean, Curtin's probably not dropping down to three with West Coast being that high up.
Yeah. When I saw this question, when you sent it to me, I was so 50-50 on it. And I still kind of am very conflicted as to whether we do, because again, I think it's a big gamble if we keep him. I think there is a chance we still keep him. More likely he goes.
I think it's 60-40 for me.
I reckon he's out the door.
You reckon?
100%.
I'm not 100%.
If it was unrestricted, I would have thought he's out.
I don't read too much. Like I sort of suggested before when we were talking about underperforming players, I don't read into his body language too much. Like I've never seen him be a body language guy though, even when he was good last year. I don't know. Like, I'm not saying it's not a thing. I'm not saying it is a thing, but
I think it's a thing.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm not saying it is.
People who sat here at the end of last year and said Horn Francis is staying was blind.
Oh no, yeah.
To body language and attitude. If we can, I think we need to.
But McKay has never been that guy though. He's never been a body language. He's never been a fist pump, you know, jump on people, flex. Like, he's never been that sort of guy though.
No, but he also just has moments where he looks disinterested, and his inconsistency would suggest that he's got an attitude.
Are we sure?
Problem.
Like, I'm just not convinced that. You know, he was performing better last season, but I don't think his body language was much different. Yeah, I think he just didn't, you know, he just had a better season. I think if he had the same season as last year and had that same body language, I don't think people would, you know, be thinking that. But I'm not saying I'm right, but that's just maybe what I think about it.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think, should we keep him? I think so. I think we've got, there's definitely a place for him in the team, especially as, you know, we hopefully try to move up the ladder. But will he? I don't think so. More likely than, I don't think it's a given, but I think it's, probably 60-40 or 70-30 that he goes.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think he goes. But
would you keep him though if it was up to
you?
Yeah,
absolutely I would.
I think if he was 28, I'd be like, maybe not. As much as it's exciting to get picks, I just don't want to get a heap of picks. We need experienced players,
we just cannot develop players. Mm. We don't. We have so many first and second round draft picks in our side, and
think about Larky and Ford though. Picks 50 something and 73
And you know, we have LDU. I mean, he was pick four, and you know, he'll be a superstar. You know, once his body is right. But just there are so many players who have just plateaued.
I agree.
And I think McKay is a really, really good defender.
It's a different regime under Clarkson though. If Clarkson was our coach the last 3 years, I think those players you're talking about, second, third round picks, I don't reckon they're as flat as they are. But
yeah. I mean, it is.
Say that's good moving
forward. It is also on the club to be picking those players in first and second round as well. I also think as well, a good example of us not being able to develop players, especially pre-Clarkson, Mason Wood, I think.
That'd be a good guy to have.
I mean,
on the team now.
I just remember he was the kind of player that once every 2 years he'd kick like 8 goals and then have 0 disposals. I remember he had several games where he just did not touch the footy once.
Yeah.
He had that game against Sydney where he won the game off his own boot, kicked 4 goals, and he got like a 4-year extension.
Should we offer Aaron Black a new contract?
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Alan Obst?
Wasn't he playing for West Coast in the top ups for a bit?
I don't know.
There was an Aaron Black.
No.
I think it's a different Aaron Black.
Declan Mountford.
Declan Mountford.
Declan Mountford.
That's right, yeah.
West Coast. And oh, my God. I think.
Yeah, and he looked like, I don't know, Chad from Finance or something like that. yeah.
All right. Taron Thomas, there's been rumours, Essendon.
Keep him.
Some people have been saying fight we should trade him.
Fight tooth and nail to
absolutely
keep him.
Like, give him, like, again, I was, like, I'm very disappointed. I was very disappointed with how he handled himself. But from a purely football playing perspective, I think we absolutely have to keep him.
I think so too. There is a rumour, though, that's sort of been floating around Twitter this week. I don't know how much either of you are across it. That the club sort of tried to enforce a behaviour but like a good behaviour bond with Taron Thomas, and apparently he's cracked the shits and isn't happy with the club on that. And that kind of, look, take it all with a grain of salt. But if that, if there is truth to that, that just sends alarm bells through my head. Also
it
knowing,
I agree.
Also knowing that he would be on decent money if he stays.
I assume he's on a regressing contract though, because everyone was up in arms about him getting paid 700k or something, but he's not getting paid 700k every single year. Like it'll be front loaded. So you know, as he goes down, it might be 500 the next year, 400 the next year, but obviously they've offered him the total sum.
I would give him decent money because I think he's worth it.
Absolutely.
But he's got to really
commit. No one cares what Degoe did. No. No one cares what Walker is a
Jake Stringer.
Jake Stringer. Tex Walker was Stringer. Did what he did.
Yeah.
Like, but people don't talk about these guys because they're on more successful teams. Like Taron Thomas is surely the first person to know that what he did was wrong and did all of that sort of stuff. And since he's been back, he's been fine. If what Marnie's saying is true, which is a current rumor, I guess it depends what they put on that clause and told him he can and can't do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's fair to assume that it was just to be nice to everybody. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. But it depends as well how much they're trying to control the life.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's a very – we just don't know those details to be too critical of that. But, you know, from a pure football perspective, which is obviously where we'd prefer to keep it here, that guy could be our best player in a few
100%.
Years' time.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah.
He has to stay, and I do think he owes the club a little bit to re-sign with them and give them some time because, you know, we've stuck by him and he should stick by us as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
We gave him that chance and to draft him and all that sort of stuff. So I hope he does. You know, his name's always going to be in these rumour mills, and I'm on a believe it when I see it basis with Taron. You can't read his body language at all because a few weeks ago he unfollows the club after West Coast. Look how pumped he was to win that Gold Coast game. He was first in on every goal that was scored, jumping on people, high fives, celebrating.
Yeah, exactly.
It's polarizing. It's a contrast, but you know, he once again like a body language guy. You know, some people might look at me and think, look at that douchebag, which is probably you guys, to be fair. But, you know, like other people don't click with other people's body language. You know what I mean? This is kind of how I feel about Ben McKay. Yeah. Is like, he's probably, what if he's the quietest bloke out? You know, he might not be that guy. But once again, all hypotheticals. But, you know, I don't want to pretend I know or don't know what Taron Thomas's body language suggests or what he's thinking, because he's shown to us that you don't know. So that's all we can really – all we know is we don't know, and that's all we can really go
off. That's
so, but I would 100% keep him and be re-signing him.
Yeah.
Once again, talk about trading him to the Gold Coast for pick six or, you know, Essendon sort of want him. I just don't want more picks. We've got so many picks.
No,
we're still
going to
get
players,
we're going to get at least two. We should be probably getting at least three first round picks with Port's pick, our pick, and either McKay or compensation. But, yeah, I would be keeping him. All right, not too many more to go. Number one position we need to recruit.
Backline.
Ruckman.
So for me.
Argue, go.
I think the ruck absolutely with, you know, Goldie sort of on the way out.
Backline, what position in the backline?
For me, I think it's a key position, especially just in case of Ben McKay leaving. If it becomes Ben McKay leaving, I think that's absolutely our number one by Flemington Strait.
Yeah.
But even then, regardless, I just think, you know, if we are relying on Aiden Bonner, Bonner, Core, and potentially not McKay to be the backbone up against key forwards, that sends alarm bells through me. And I said this, I think, even in the first pod, like I was worried about our backline. I think I literally said after Good Friday, our backline consists of Aiden Bonner and a bag of chips. Like that is not to take away from Bergman or Gota, but I think we just need a big body key defender. For me, We need to keep key forwards on a leash, on a tight leash. And the only way we can do that is by really getting a big key defender. Yeah.
All right, Marnie.
Save the ruck.
I do see it, yeah.
For me, I'm exactly the same.
To be fair, having a good key defender is more important than having a good ruckman.
I agree.
But we currently have
the worst ruckman
pleb
competition
for a ruckman.
Yeah.
Yeah. After going from Goldie to Jerry, it's a big downgrade. It's a really big downgrade.
I hope Jerry does something though. Like, look, I'm as out as anybody on this planet on Tristan Jerry. And I think I started this, and I think there's many people have got on board with me now. But if we don't recruit a ruckman, I don't care if we have Harley Reid, Dustin Martin, and Christian Petrarca in our midfield, it doesn't matter. Because ruckman is a little bit of a dying art, someone's got to give them first use.
Sure, the ruck is a dying art, but have a decent footballer then as the ruckman who can at least impact play around the ground. Sure, Goldstein might not be as dominant as he once was in the ruck, but he's still taking contested marks. He's still contributing to the flow of play. Mm. This guy just lies on the floor.
Yeah.
And like gives away free kicks.
Wait, he
and
actually
fumbles.
Does. Now that you say it, he actually
or
does a
he
lot.
He spends more time on the floor than he does his feet.
Yeah.
I don't think, and I'm serious about this, I would love to know how many contested marks he's taken this year, because I guarantee it's in double digits. I think it might be like zero or one. I don't remember a time he's taken a proper contested mark.
I don't think I've seen it.
And this is the thing, 100 kilos, 200 centimetres.
Sure, you love players that throw their weight around, but Cam Zerha does that and more.
Yeah. Kane Turner throws his weight around. There's not much of it, but he throws it.
Yeah, he throws all 3 kilos around.
If you like a player because they're a human wrecking ball, it's the wrong sport for you. Go watch rugby.
Mm. All right. Any other positions? I mean, for me, I'd be like small Charlie Cameron-esque forward, the cleanest user of halfback you'll ever see.
Yeah.
But I'd say, definitely key defender and a ruckman are the two. A ruckman for me, but... Key defender, especially if Mackay goes.
Yeah,
key
absolutely.
Forward as well. Look, I love Comben.
We definitely need some support for Larky.
I'm on the Coleman Jones train still. He played badly and deserved to get dropped, absolutely. But hopefully consistency. He's still early 20s. What he did for those 4, 5, 6 games when he came in was exactly what we need in a player.
Oh, they were good.
So he's a good kicker goal. Even the games he was bad, he was still nearly clunking everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Unlike Jerry, which is just, if it hits him in the face, it's a positive. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm not completely out on Coleman Jones. I still believe he can be a good player. But next year is also a make or break year for him,
I'd put Coleman Jones in that same basket as Will Phillips. It's sort of do or die for him next season.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not so much for Phillips, but the way the club maybe looks at him, it suggests so, possibly. But anyway... Yeah, ruckman for sure, key defender for sure, but ruckman for me. I've been on getting the Radigalia train because I don't think he's the best key defender, but as a ruckman, jumps high, bigger body, isn't awful when the ball hits the ground. If he's playing in defence, he can clearly kick and handball. So it's like that's the sort of guy we need. If the money getting offered to him is true, which is like, what, $600,000-$700,000 from the Hawks or something, probably don't get him because a ruckman doesn't deserve that much money anymore, personally for me. But someone tall who's not irrelevant when the ball hits the ground.
Yeah.
Can clunk.
I agree.
That would be nice.
Maybe one day, guys. All right. Who would you take in the draft with our first pick?
I genuinely think...
And say we had pick number one as a hypothetical here. Do you know much, Marnie, about the draft picks?
No, I know Harley Reid and Daniel Curtin.
Okay.
I genuinely think even with number two... I still think we pick Harley Reid. I don't think there's an incentive for West Coast to take him, like I was saying before.
West Coast can use that pick and say we're going to take him. Would they're not going to just like unless there's no offer out there. Surely they'd be trading it with us. Because to be honest, from my opinion here, as much as I would never say no to Harley Reid, that is the last type of player we need to draft.
That is true.
And I would not say no to him at all.
Yeah.
If he's generational like they say they are, he will lead our midfield with Wardlaw, Taran. That's a disgusting midfield. Like that is
it's
unbelievable.
It's dangerous to think of.
But
yeah,
we need, like, think about guys like, Curtin. key defender we need. Yeah. Nick Watson looks so dynamic in that forward pocket.
He's not like
a Braden George. He's small. He's nippy. He's a crummer.
Yeah, I like
those
him.
Other guys yeah. aren't like that. Steve-O's not like that. Eddie Ford's not like that.
Yeah.
You know, Braden George, Cooper Harvey's not like that. He's a player we do not have. He's exactly what we want Phoenix Spicer or Robert Hanson to be like.
Exactly.
Which
yeah.
they probably aren't going to. Do yeah. it.
I mean, I want to see more of Bobby Hanson. Just, you know, he only had a couple of games. Look, but
yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, I do think Curtin, for me, naturally, if we don't get Reed, I do think he would be a great fit.
Mm-hmm. Say everyone's on the table. Who do you draft? You're Brady Rawlings. Be Brady Rawlings right
now. Oh, geez. I actually reckon, either Reed or Curtin. It's a very odd, like very basic choice, but
I need you to
probably
lock one in.
Probably leaning more towards Curtin because we do have a lot of we already have a lot of mids. I think again we are lacking so much in other key parts of the ground. I think we can develop with the midfield we currently have.
Yep.
I just think if we can get draftees that we can develop in the back line or in a key position, I think we need more of that.
Your thoughts?
I agree. Yep. I think as wonderful as of a player as Harley Reid is, and there is a very high possibility.
This is a hot take from you guys as well, because many, many people, most people disagree with this.
Again, I'm happy if we take Reid.
If Harley Reid.
Yeah, no, no one's saying no to Harley Reid, and I think we all did. When West Coast won that game, we dropped to the bottom. I was excited to get Harley Reid. I genuinely was. After thinking like, oh, we don't need him. We've got mids. I was genuinely excited to get that guy in the midfield. But I'm sort of the same way. If Harley Reid's available, I think you do have to take Harley Reid at number one. If everyone's available, we've got pick number one, which we don't, but hypothetical. I think we have to take Harley Reid. But on fit, I'd be taking Curtin for sure, or Nick Watson.
Yeah,
I agree.
With the current circumstances at two. Yeah. But then there's so much to play in the draft, so... Anyway, just a little draft teaser. We were doing plenty of draft podcasts too. Okay, I was going to do – we probably don't have enough time for this. Maybe a different podcast. I was going to do our best we'll discuss our best 23 for the year and who to delist, but I think that might be for another podcast. The last things we'll do, I've got a couple of names down here of targets of other players who have been linked to us. Just a quick, maybe we do the delisting thing. We just say yes or no as well.
Okay.
But let's do these free agents and trade targets first. And just a yes or no. And if you want to add anything, let's say one sentence.
Done.
Lewis Melikan.
From what I've heard, yes. Mm-hmm. I think he'd just be a good addition in terms of what he brings already.
27 key position player, one of the better one-on-one defenders statistically in the league.
Exactly. And it's really relieving to see that we're not just going for a medium-sized forward.
Yeah, some guy doesn't have a proper spot.
Yeah, and that just shows it shows that we're actually looking for players we need, which under Reece Shaw and David Noble, we're not doing.
Jesus.
Definitely I think Melikan. Yeah. Cool.
Marnie, yes or no, Melikan?
He's a defender, right?
Key defender.
Yeah, if Mackay
key
leaves.
Key defender from the Swans.
If Mackay leaves, then yes.
If he's Mackay doesn't leave?
I don't know. He's a downgrade from Mackay. And that's the spot that he would be filling.
Is he an upgrade on Logan Corr?
Is he? I don't really know much about him, to be completely honest.
Look, I think you might be right. Like, I think if Mackay stays, we probably don't. It depends on the draft as well, I guess, because if we draft Curtin and Mackay stays, we probably don't need him with Logan Corr. But, key defender. I mean, I'll say yes just because it's a key defender. But you're probably right. We probably need to wait until the draft and everything plays out. Zach Fisher apparently put a 5-year deal in front of him.
I don't know if – like, I'm worried because, like, last time we did a 5-year deal, it was Jared Polek.
That wasn't a bad deal when we gave it to him.
No.
It was a bad deal with how it turned out.
Well, he started off okay and then just fell off so hard.
But he fell off because of injury, not because he played bad. I think this is the thing people forget. It's like, yes, in hindsight, that was a bad deal.
Oh, he did.
Polek was only 1 year removed from being All-Australian
slower than a computer on Windows 98. But
he had malware.
Polek was notorious for playing well in contract seasons alone.
So yes or no, Zach Fisher?
I'm thinking it may be different this time, so yes.
Okay, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes?
Yep. Quality player, can play
half back winger.
Yeah, but he yeah, and he's versatile. So yeah, I'd bring him in.
There's a few players in this position then. So let's name them and maybe say who we'd pick. But Dylan Stevens from the Swans was a top five pick, I think, and hasn't quite made it. Left footer, he's literally Clarko Ball in a player. Like quick, clean disposal.
What position do you usually play?
He's usually wing, could possibly be half back, but I think predominantly wing. The other one here is Hunter Clark has sort of come up a little bit again. Maybe
I love Hunter Clark.
You like Hunter Clark?
Yeah, I don't mind him.
Because a lot of Saints fans tell me they're not very impressed with him this year.
Oh, really? See, at the start of the year, I thought the chat around Hunter Clark was Saints fans wanted to keep him at all costs.
I think they did, but I mean, a couple of my best mates are Saints fans and I've chatted to plenty at the barbershop and people seemed a bit on Hunter Clark.
Maybe
I haven't watched him heaps.
Maybe he just needs a fresh start.
I haven't heard about Hunter Clark much this year, especially with how up and about the Saints have.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, out of all those players, I mean, it's probably Fisher or Stevens for me. I haven't seen much of Stevens, but seeing a couple of highlights and reading about him and asking some Swans fans, he seems like a really a very Clarkson type player. But I think Fisher's probably more established.
Yeah, he's definitely like a name you sort of recognise in terms of.
I think Blues fans really like Fisher as well.
I agree. That usually means he's good. You know, so I would say yes to Fisher or Stevens. I'd probably take them both. Liam Henry, the small, apparently I was talking to a Fremantle fan yesterday. Have you guys seen this link as well? Liam Henry's requested a trade from Fremantle.
Yes. We were talking about that before the pod.
Oh, cool. Were we? I wasn't listening. Anyway, I was too busy doing all the techie stuff. Mics wouldn't work. Do you guys want to play like that?
Yes.
I mean, remember, I don't think he found his best spot as a forward pocket. He's apparently had a really good season on the wing. Forward pocket, by all Fremantle reports, has been underwhelming.
He's a great player.
Yeah, I think so.
I would take him too. That sort of electric, quick player we need.
I think him and Melican are probably the two that I would like to see come north the most.
Okay.
Maybe Fisher up there as well, but probably those two top.
And another one, the last one here is Adam Tomlinson from the D's.
That's interesting. What does he play usually?
He's a key defender.
Is he a key defender?
Key defender for Tomlinson. He's about 30 years old. Definitely good enough to be playing in the AFL, but can't get in with the D's with Lever and May.
I
personally, as a 1 or 2
not
year
at
thing,
that age,
he could be a Liam Shields, Grant Birchall, Luke Hodge kind of player.
But he's not those are three superstars in their prime.
I would say though that if Mackay goes, getting a player, a defender of that experience, I would not say no to for a couple of years, especially if we went into next season, say Mackay went and we get Tomlinson and draft Curtin, that to me is perfect.
That makes sense.
Like Tomlinson, I know he's not the best defender. Getting someone like on a Liam Shields type deal, what's the guy? Phil Davis who retired?
But Phil Davis was at the Giants since inception, so that wasn't really.
Well, he was at the Crows, I think, originally. But he has been there for a long time.
He's been there for ages. It's the Luke Hodge, like getting Grant some Birchall sort of thing.
Experience.
Paddy Ryder.
Yeah. Look, I'm not saying Tomlinson's the best defender, but he's a fairly solid player. Getting someone like him, if we draft a Curtin, I think could be a really good move. I wouldn't be wheeling the boat out for him, but I think it wouldn't be awful to see. I'd probably rather Melican than Tomlinson, just because of age profile.
I would too.
But they're just a few I've heard. Anyone else heard any others?
Not that I've heard of, no.
All right. Do we want to do yes no delistings very quickly then finish it up?
Yeah.
I'm happy to. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right.
We'll go quick.
Let's do it here. I will just read out the ones I think might be questionable for next season.
That sounds
And just
plan.
A yes or a no, once again, throw a couple of words in, but let's not rant here.
Yep.
Jack Marnie.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Yes, keep or yes, D-list?
Yes, D-list.
Bye.
Yes, D-list.
Okay, let's just
I'll say D-list.
Yeah,
D-list or no.
Yep. Goodbye.
Let's think of words here. Say
goodbye.
Say hello or goodbye.
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 You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Goodbye. While I search for the next player. Oh, here we go. Daniel Howe.
Goodbye.
Not just your list here, mate. Like, I think Daniel has contracted, isn't
Please
he?
Please don't say that.
Oh, no.
Apologies. So Daniel Howe, both.
Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Absolutely.
Aiden Bonner.
Goodbye.
Aiden Threes Man.
Goodbye.
Yeah, see you later.
Lockie Young.
Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Hugh Greenwood.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah, we know what Marty thinks about that. Jasper Pitt. No, he's not on the list anymore.
He's not on the list anymore. Hello.
Oh, a couple of spicy. Oh, no, no one's going to do that. Here's a really interesting one. Maybe not a D-list or anything like that, but I've said a couple of times on the podcast, maybe use Tom Powell as trade bait to lure over a key position player. Think about the midfielders. I'm not saying on his talent. I think he's a good player. You think of Taran, Zerha, Wardlaw, Sheasel. You know, you got Jai Simkin, you got Will Phillips, you got Luke Davies, Uniac. If rumors. We get Reed.
I have heard rumours that he is going to request a trade back to South Australia.
Yeah, we've got like seven or eight midfielders that can play. Like, look what Lazaro did in the last round. If you Greenwood's do it, these are all midfielders. He's young, he's talented. He's a player we could use to get a ruckman, to get a key position player for me. If, I'm just saying, would you be up for using him in a trade somewhere? That's more the question.
If we keep Taran Thomas, yes.
Okay, good answer. Marnie?
Yeah, I'd explore it. I don't know how much you'd get for him, though, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I think age profiling, he's shown enough.
He has shown enough, but he, like, you know, he hasn't
Say we got a key position player, his type of level, that player who's good enough to play but maybe just on the fringes because, you know, what if, as an example, for Lewis Melican, who's a very, very similar player. What if you traded Tom Powell for Lewis Melican?
Tom Powell will only go back to South Australia.
I know, but just as a hypothetical.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Kane Turner.
Hello.
I actually think hello.
I think he will get re-rookied.
One more year.
Re-rookied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more year. That's all I want
for him. I think he will. A few more smothers.
Yeah, I miss a smother. Jacob Edwards, admin threes guy.
goodbye.
Nah, goodbye. I think
he's only 20 years old.
Yeah,
he's only 20.
20
and if
years
he's,
old and getting what, four touches in the VFL?
The thing I think I saw is something like you can't re-rookie him again. I think he's had enough time on the rookie list. You have to either sign him to the senior list or say goodbye at the end
of the season. If we actually commit to playing him a little bit, in the seniors next year, I've got no issue keeping him, but it's just a waste of space at this point otherwise.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Charlie Lazaro.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. I'd keep him.
All right. Phoenix Spicer.
Goodbye.
hello for one more year.
Are you for real?
For one more year. I think
he's going to be the most one-dimensional player on our list.
I just want to see one more year. If not, then like that's it. That's all I want from him.
Okay.
Far out.
Okay.
You're easy to please.
Oh, that's mean. I'm not going to say that one. I'm not going to do Tristan Jerry.
Goodbye.
We all know he's going to be there. Flynn Perez.
Goodbye.
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 And good riddance,
God.
Mate.
Yeah. I'm not going to worry about this. I mean, this one, I want to know what you guys think of this player. We haven't even talked about him. He's going to be on the list next season, so let's not discuss that. But Blake Drury.
Hello. I don't think we've seen...
We haven't seen enough of him.
I haven't seen enough of him. I just think he didn't maybe show heaps.
No.
My brother and I spoke about him a few weeks ago when he came back into the side. I think he was the sub. He was one of the reasons why he was drafted is on leadership potential, and I think we really lack leadership.
I did hear that because he was the captain of his under 18.
Yeah, we really lack natural leaders. So on that alone, I definitely want to give him some more time.
I would keep him too. I just for the rest of the season, we didn't. No one was saying we should give Drury another go as well. He didn't impress, but he didn't go. He didn't show me.
I think
that
he needs a bit more time in the VFL. To be honest, he really didn't look ready.
Callum Dawson.
Hello.
Yeah, absolutely. Money. Hello. Keep him.
He's handsome. Outstanding.
He's handsome.
He is handsome, but that's not why I want to keep him.
That's why I want to keep him. I want him on my calendar next year.
how good was he against the Suns? I was tearing my hair out. I couldn't believe it took us.
He was good in the possessions he got though, but he wasn't around the football heaps. But
yeah. He was really played well.
Yeah. I think there's a place for him, especially backline going into 2024.
Do you think though, say Mackay stays and we've got a Logue, an Apple Core, and we go and get we go and get a Melican or draft a Curtin.
Well, then no.
Mm.
Yeah, then probably not. But if Mackay goes, then I think, you know, he's a walk-in.
And I'd just give him some time. He probably just needs time.
Not even time. Yeah. It's just a chance, to be honest. Like, I agree. I think he's very Aiden Core-esque though, where he's not quite big enough to be a good key defender like him. Like, you don't play that guy on Tom Hawkins or Taylor Walker. He especially last year, and I remember this game against Essendon, the amount of times he was running off half back as like a key defender was baffling to me. And I don't think we need that type of player. So I think him and Aiden Core are the same sort of player.
Yeah, okay.
Must see why I like him so much.
Yeah, yeah. Aaron Hall's already gone. Don't worry about that. Hamish Free.
We haven't seen anything from him. I reckon keep him. Why not? Yeah, one more year again if he breaks in. And
he
if
was
not,
was he injured?
Yeah, he hurt his shoulder or something. I think he was out. I'd be keen
to give him a shot. Yeah,
he does seem like a big lumbering ruckman though. He doesn't seem to be that guy who's good on the ground or agile. He seems like an absolute.
We've already got one of those.
Yeah, like a bucket of doorknobs. Anyway, last player before we go, Robert Hanson Jr.
Hello. Hello. Keep him.
Yep.
I think, again, he did all right.
He got a couple of chances and didn't take them. And I think the games, I remember that. What game did we watch? Did he? No, he didn't.
He played against the D's and he played against West Coast.
The D's game, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon.
He was easily the guy we should have subbed that game as well. Like,
yeah. I reckon he's the kind of player, this year he was probably too good for the VFL but not good enough for the AFL.
Yeah.
He was in that really awkward sort of stage in his development. I think he deserves probably another 2 years. Give him some time.
I agree.
To develop. I think he will be better next year. But he just needs to find a place in the side.
All right. Done. Done, guys.
Done.
There we go.
How do we feel?
Optimistic.
I can't believe
you want to give Phoenix Spicer another year. I'm still stuck on that.
Marnie, you've got to go to dinner soon. We can't talk about that. All right. Really quickly, where does North finish on the ladder next year? This is so early to do this, by the way.
Premiers.
Do not write any of these down.
Premiers.
Okay.
We're literally winning. Like I said, we're winning the flag mathematically. Like, it's already happening.
You're totally right.
In all seriousness, though, we're not finishing bottom two. I reckon
we'll be in the bottom four. But
we will be. Yeah.
I think maybe 14th, 15th.
I'm saying 15th. I don't think we'll finish 16th. I think it'll be 15th.
I'm with Marnie, like 14th at best, maybe 15th, 16th. But
yeah, a miracle could see us at 13th.
But it doesn't mean we won't get six wins and finish there as well.
I think we want improvement. I think that's all, you know, we saw improvement a little bit this year, but we didn't win the games. I think now we need to start winning some more games.
True.
Please for my soul.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we have finished that. There's going to be lots of off-season content to come. Maybe if you guys want to come back on.
AFLW as well.
AFLW's back on.
Get around the girls.
Get around them. Premiership coming.
Yeah, they are pushing. They're pushing for a flag this year. Their side is looking good. Mm. They are looking very good.
Scary good.
Yeah.
All right, get around
them. So I reckon, like, people are saying.
29 at the women's game?
We probably will be. We are sort of talking about either the Carlton game or the Giants game in 2 to 3 weeks' time, we'll be hopefully getting out to. So, more info on that to come.
All right. You can get all that info here as well. I'm sure you'll pass that on to me and I can tell it to all the people who listen. Thank you for coming on, Admin 3, North Melbourne Close to a Flag. If you don't follow it, if you don't follow and listen to this podcast, that doesn't exist. So you already know. I mean, you already know where
the
it is.
The Venn diagram's a perfect circle.
It's just one circle. Everyone knows who Marnie is. Hashtag Marnie merch, everybody. Don't forget. if we ever need cash quick, we just need to make Marnie merch. You will hear from these people, hopefully, unless this has completely fried their brains for the off season. We're going to do draft stuff. We're going to do free agency. We're going to do trades.
Beautiful.
I've got a couple of people I'm chatting to who know a little bit more about that stuff than me to come on. And thank you very much for coming on, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having
me. Pleasure.
Glad the season's done?
No, I miss it already.
Oh, you've got some issues, man.
I know.
It's like, glad it's done, but also, can't wait to get back.
What am I going
to
do with myself for the next 7 months? Rewatch that Gold Coast win. I'm going to rewatch Aiden Core's goal. I'm going to rewatch Aiden Core's goal on repeat for 7 months straight.
100%.
All right, I'm leaving. Thank you for coming on, guys, and we'll talk again very soon.
Beautiful. Thank you.
See you, bye.